The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to NBC Sports Philadelphia. The guests you want to hear from, the Phillies information you need. It's At the Yard with Jim Salisbury.
Chase Utley is one of the most popular Phillies of all time. Greatest second baseman in franchise history, perennial all-star, and of course, one of the key members of the 2008 World Series team. I caught up with him last summer at Citizens Bank Park when he came in with the Los Angeles Dodgers to conduct an interview for the documentary that has become World Champions, Story of the 08 Phillies. 9 years later, he had great recall in talking about the Phillies' 2008 World Series championship. Hello and welcome back to this special edition of At the Yard. I'm Jim Salisbury, and we are presented by Deborah Heart and Lung Center. If it is your heart, demand Deborah, and visit demanddeborah.org. And a reminder, please subscribe to At the Yard wherever you listen to podcasts. NBC Sports Philadelphia recently aired World Champions, the story of the 08 Phillies. And in that documentary, you saw a big portion of my interview with Chase Utley. And now you get to hear my full sit-down with the Phillies legend. So Charlie Manuel talked about how complete that 08 team was. You had pitching, you had power, you had, you know, great young players, you had, you know, everything. What are your recollections? In your mind, what made that team special?
We did have all those. We had solid pitching, great back end pitching for sure. We could hit a home run at any point in the lineup. But I think we had that it factor, if you will, the grit, the determination. Guys wanted to go out there and they wanted to go to war for each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, the year before, 07, I've always believed that it all started then, when, you know, the team hadn't been to the playoffs in 14 years. You chase down the Mets in September, you get to the playoffs, end that drought, and, you know, you play against the Rockies, it's kind of a quick exit, but chasing down the Mets, winning the division, how much, and then, you know, getting eliminated early, how much confidence did, you know, winning the division give you, and how much hunger did the quick elimination give you guys?
Yeah, the last few weeks of that 07 season were pretty surreal. Obviously, the Mets didn't play very good baseball at all, and we kind of turned it up a notch a bit. And I think it goes back to show that it got us prepared for the following years. The intensity, the environment that we were in, the must-win games, if you will. I think it got us comfortable to play in that type of environment, and I think that set us up for some success later on.
No question. And looking back to that clincher in 08, Jimmy makes that great diving play to start that double play.
Right.
And that allows you to use Cole Hamels in game one of the division series. He ends up starting three game ones. And, you know, just how big was having that guy, making that play, having that guy start three game ones?
Right, right. Yeah, when we clinched in 08, Jimmy made an awesome play. We were able to turn a good double play, especially in that situation. And again, it set us up for Cole pitching game one, and he was, you know, the backbone of our rotation. He was, at that time, he was completely unhittable. He was still young. Guys didn't know really what to expect from him, and he was completely dominant. So I think making that play, I mean, there are a lot of things that led up to it, but making that play definitely started us off on the right foot.
What was it like watching, like you said, he was still young, Hamels, but it was like he kind of became a man during that month of October. What was it like standing behind him every night?
It was amazing. You know, he was essentially a two-pitch guy, fastball, changeup. He mixed in a curveball here and there. This is before he had the cutter, and he was dominant. He was throwing strikes when he needed to. He was, you know, missing below the zone when he needed to. He really grew up a lot that season.
Game one of the World Series, you hit a two-run home run in the first inning. Kind of got things going. What are your recollections of that at-bat, that home run, and what type of a memory is that for you now?
Yeah, obviously you're trying to be successful every at bat. You know, that World Series, for me in my mind, went by extremely fast. I know it didn't in reality, but it did for me. You know, having some success that first at bat kind of pushed us in the right direction, I think. And then guys behind me took over from there.
Did it kind of slow things down, get rid of some anxiety, some butterflies?
Yeah, but we played some pretty big games prior to that, but obviously the World Series is a different stage. So I think it kind of relaxed. For me, it relaxed me a little bit. I would imagine it relaxed everybody else, kind of let us go and play our game.
You mentioned big series before that, and you're right. Dodger Stadium, my greatest memory, I think, of that entire month was Matt Stairs' home run. Can you take us through that? What was it like to watch from the top step of the dugout?
It was surreal. Stairs, he's awesome teammate, extremely good hitter, and for him to hit that ball in that moment was pretty special. I think that, again, another moment that kind of pushed us in the right direction.
Do you remember how quiet that ballpark was?
I know. I just remember how loud our dugout was, but I can imagine that park being pretty quiet at that point. That was, if not the biggest hit of the year, one of them.
Can you describe the feeling in the dugout as he gets back there?
Just excitement, intensity. Guys are extremely fired up. Not only that we hit a home run, but that he hit the home run, because everyone loved Stairsy. So there were a lot of good things about that.
I can still hear the sound the ball made coming off the bat. It's just...
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing, and especially a cold night at Dodger Stadium. The ball doesn't travel, and that one traveled.
Speaking of the weather, now going back to the World Series game five, you know, as it really starts to come down, I can remember B.J. Upton sliding into second and just the mud splattering everywhere. What was it like to play on that field in that rain?
Yeah, it was a weird situation because we had Cole pitching, and he was pitching really well, but the environment was not good. The field was a mess, and I'm going back and forth in my head. Do I complain to the umpire that the field's unplayable, but Cole's pitching? So you don't want to lose him, but you also don't want to have a ball scoop by somebody or take a weird bounce because it's wet, and we ended up losing the game. So I was, in my mind, I'm going back and forth trying to figure out what the best scenario is to go forward. I finally didn't say anything because Cole was the man that year. So I wanted him to continue to pitch.
So in the back of your mind, you're thinking maybe we should suspend here, but...
The field was a total disaster. No matter who's playing defense, it's going to be rough. Ball's going to be wet. Ball's going to be sliding. Your footing's going to be terrible, and you would hate for the field to change the outcome of a game. But it worked out for us.
Well, you know, you're so close to fulfilling your dreams, and now you have this day off in the middle. How did you handle the excitement, the anticipation, and just, you know, of not having baseball that day?
Yeah, it was completely awkward. From what I remember maybe going to the field early in the morning, just breaking a sweat, taking a few swings. But at that point, we've taken plenty of swings throughout the course of the year, so you can't really focus on that. I went home. My wife and I binge-watched True Blood. I probably watched 8 to 10 episodes, and that kind of made the time fly.
And now the ball game is resumed the next day. Mm-hmm. What is the level of anticipation as you guys take BP? Now you're in the dugout, and you basically, the season is a marathon, but you have this sprint to the finish line in Game 5 of the World Series. What was the dugout like before it resumed?
Excitement again, going back to the past month. You know, we had a lot of intensity in our dugout. The fans, I can't say enough about how great the fans were. They were so loud, so intense, so intimidating for the other team, and they were definitely made us elevate our game. And I remember the crowd going nuts. Burrell hit a double, and then it's kind of just a whirlwind from there.
And then, of course, you make a game-saving defensive play, which still ranks among some of the most iconic plays in any sport in Philadelphia, to get Jason Bartlett after that fake. Do you still see that play in your mind's eye?
A little bit. It's one of those plays where J.C. Romero's pitching, against the lefty, he's a big sinker guy, and so a lot of times against left-hand hitters, I'm playing in the hole towards first base, and he ended up hitting it up the middle, which is not a spot many guys hit it. So I knew it felt like forever for me to get to the ball, and it was freezing outside, and I just remember thinking, this play is not an ideal play. If I make a perfect throw, maybe he's out, but the chance of making a perfect throw at that point wasn't as important as keeping that runner at third base. And so I faked it, and he kept going, and Chooch made a good tag.
As he's exciting. Making the tag, I mean, he must, what's
he feel? But at that point, looking back on it, it was awesome. But in the moment, it was just kind of another play. And you try not to make one play bigger than others. So in that moment, it was just another play, but obviously it worked out.
It's a pretty good one. And how about another big play moments later? I'll never forget this. I guess it was 0-2 against Hinsky, and Chooch runs out there and says to Lidge, what do you want to do? And Lidge says, I want to throw him a slider. And he had the two sliders, the kind of this one and then this one.
Right.
And Chooch says, make it the good one.
Is that what he said?
Chooch says, make it the good one. I'll block it. to see the good one.
Yeah, obviously you want to see the good one. But Brad was amazing. Amazing. He had the two sliders, one the back foot slider and the kind of the backup downer slider that ran away from left-hand hitters. But I don't know how he made the ball do that, but he was great. And Chooch really gave a lot of confidence to our pitchers. Whether it was the right pitch or not, it doesn't matter. Chooch made the pitcher feel like that was the right pitch. And I think that's a huge reason why we had a lot of success.
I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Chase Utley for NBC Sports Philadelphia's documentary, World Champions, the story of the 08 Phillies. Coming up,
the parade is capped off by a celebration at Citizens Bank Park, and you punctuate the day with, the old WFC. Where did that come from?
Listen, there was so much intensity that day, so much excitement. The amount of support we were getting from the fans, everyone was making a speech, which I hate to do, but I said, sure, I'll do it. Didn't really know what to say. It came out, I meant it. Some people didn't like it. Sorry, but it happened, and I'll live with it.
All that and more after this health tip from Deborah Heart and Lung Center.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is At the Yard, the podcast.
Do you have a picture or anything of Lidge dropping to his knees, joined by Carlos?
I don't have that picture. I have the swing and miss picture, and then just running in. It was just a total melee after that. I remember thinking about jumping on the pile and then saying probably not a good idea, and then someone like clotheslined me and I fell down. And Jenkins is like shaking my head. It was awesome.
Take us through the I mean, you had three celebrations that October.
Yeah.
Champagne celebrations. What are they like? Are they as good as you dream about?
Yeah, every single time they're as good as you dream about. Fortunately, we had a few over the years, but you know, looking back, I don't remember the exact one. I do remember a time where I'm trying to open up these champagne balls, and sometimes they're difficult to open up, and I'm trying to get the cork out. And finally, it pops out, hits the wall, hits me right in the eyebrow, like really hard. Could have been bad, really bad. But you know, you just want to enjoy it. You want guys around you to enjoy it. You know, at that point, obviously, I'm excited for myself, but you know, I'm more excited for my teammates and the coaching staff and just everyone that had a part in us winning.
We talked. All the pieces came together: the power, the pitching, the chemistry, everybody's age. Everyone kind of ascending and becoming stars. And then this guy Brad Lidd shows up and has a storybook season. I mean, it was like a storybook season. What was your take on that?
Yeah, we had good mojo. There's no other really words to describe it. Clearly, we had a lot of talent up and down our lineup, pitching staff. We played solid defense. But I think in order to win, you need a little bit more than that. You need to have that grit. You need to have just things go your way. And we created a lot of that positive energy. And Brad Lidge was, I mean, he didn't blow a save all year. There was a few that became a little interesting throughout the course of the year. But he was able to make a pitch when he needed to, and it was pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, and then he's one of those guys. You had, you know, you and Jimmy and Ryan. You know, you can say they're the best first baseman, second baseman, shortstop in franchise history. And then you have a guy who comes on like Lidge, who's just, you know, unbeatable that year. Worth and Victorino and Ruiz, their importance as sort of, I don't even want to call them role players because they were like role stars.
Not at all. No. We had an unbelievable team. J-Dub and Wright making great plays, making throws, hitting homers, stealing bases, Chooch getting big hits, calling a great game, really instilling that confidence in the pitching. I mean, it was, you name it, everyone contributed. There was no one guy that we looked to win a game. It seems like throughout the course of the year, we flip a coin, who's going to win the game tonight for us? And that's kind of how it went all year.
And I think 25 guys really loved playing for Charlie Manuel. Was that the case?
100%. You know, I've played for a few different managers over the course of my career, and for me, the most important attribute as a manager is to get the most out of your players. And Charlie really did that. He treated everybody with respect. He made guys feel good about themselves, even in times when they shouldn't necessarily feel good about themselves. And he was the guy that kind of navigated us, made us all kind of come together. It was huge.
And then, speaking of navigating, you get to navigate your way down Broad Street for that parade. Where does that rank on your list of memories? What was that day like?
Yeah, it was. We didn't really know what to anticipate. We knew we were going down Broad Street. We heard that there's going to be a lot of people, I didn't realize the magnitude of the amount of people that were going to come out and support us. It was surreal. It was just a sea of red all the way down Broad Street. People hanging out of windows. And it was just the love that we felt during that parade was unbelievable.
It was an amazing bond between the fans and that team. What do you think, other than obviously Philadelphia loves winners, but was there a reason that the fans connected so well with that team? I mean, you know, they were in the midst of 257 sellouts in that time frame. They won five divisions.
Was it?
The fans absolutely adored that team. What, is there something you can put your finger on other than the fact that, yeah, they won championships?
The fans came out, they've been coming out for a while to support us. We put a good product on the field. I feel like we played the game the right way. We played with intensity. We didn't play scared. We didn't back down. And I think the fans recognized the type of guys we had. We had a lot of different characters, too, on our team, just different personalities. And I think you could always relate to somebody that's playing playing for playing on the field. So I think the grit, the intensity, the passion that we showed for the game, I think, and clearly winning, really brought the fans out.
Mm-hmm. And then the parade is capped off by a celebration at Citizens Bank Park, and you punctuate the day with, the old WFC. Where did that come from?
Came out of left field. There's so much intensity that day, so much excitement. The amount of support we were getting from the fans. Everyone was making a speech, which I hate to do. But I said, sure, I'll do it. Didn't really know what to say. It came out. I meant it. Some people didn't like it. Sorry. But it happened, and I'll live with it.
No, it's an iconic quote in Philadelphia history. It's T-shirts and everything.
Do you have a T-shirt?
I don't wear T-shirts.
Do you have a polo shirt?
No. WFC. Looking back, 5 division titles. I mean, great talent. 5 division titles, 2 World Series appearances, a World Series championship. Should that core have won another World Series? Is there a regret that you guys didn't?
You never want to look back and say, what if? We had an opportunity in 2009. But again, it's baseball. You need talent. You need a little bit of mojo, and we had that. We just couldn't get over the hump with the Yankees. The Yankees obviously had an extremely talented team. We had some opportunities to score more runs than we did, and we had some opportunities to hold them back, but it didn't work out. You can't look back and totally regret it. Clearly, you wish you would have won, and wish you would have performed a little bit better. But none of us should. We should all keep our heads high and be proud of what we've accomplished.
You mentioned playing for Charlie, and 25 guys really responded and respected, loved the guy. He loses his mother during the NLCS. Did that become a rallying point for the team?
I mean, obviously, anytime you're in that situation, you want to win. But I think that kind of gave us a little bit more motivation to win because we all love Charlie. And for him to go through that at that time, we felt for him and we definitely wanted to win for him. So I think that motivated us a little bit more.
In mid-August, Ryan Madsen took his game to another level. He just started throwing, I think, 98, and games were completely shortened. Did you notice a big difference in him?
Huge difference. Essentially, it turned the game into a 7-inning game with him setting up for Brad. I kind of came up with Ryan a little bit in the minor leagues. And he was a starting pitcher, great changeup, sneaky fastball. And he continued to evolve, went to the bullpen, and I think at that point he finally got comfortable in the bullpen. I remember his velocity was going up and up and up. Like, what's going on? I see him in the weight room. I see him doing these weird stretches and looking really awkward and funny and goofy. And then I see him throwing 98 miles an hour. I said, go ahead and look goofy in the weight room. I don't care. For him to be there in the eighth inning and shut it down, was cool.
So many things came together that year.
So many.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Chase Utley as much as I did. If you haven't seen World Champions, story of the 08 Phillies, go to NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com or check your local listings. I'm Jim Salisbury. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time at The Yard.
Thanks for listening to At The Yard on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Be sure to subscribe to At The Yard wherever you listen to podcasts.